Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hi, guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy, but also a big welcome to all the Scoobies who are here for our first Scoobies Secrets in a long time. I think it's been since the end of season 3 that we did a spoiler section. And then it was somewhere it was sometime before we did the prom that we did like a regular episode versus a season overview. But welcome, you guys. We're so excited you're here. Today we are talking about Who Are You for our first spoiler episode. Next week or next time we'll have Superstar, and then hopefully we'll move on from there. And you know, just a FYI, not every single episode will do spoilers, just because I think there's some that aren't as heavily foreshadowing, or there's not as much to talk about, but as much as possible, we will try to do them. And yeah, how do you guys feel about having spoilers back?
It's crazy. I missed it. Spoiler section was always my favorite, just because I feel like we didn't have to be as structured. We didn't have to be as like filtered, because anyone who's in the spoiler section either doesn't care about spoilers or they already know. So they just kind of want to hear like, you know, unfiltered opinions. And especially this season, it's been really, really hard not having spoilers. Yes. Because, I mean, this is the first season that we don't have spoilers. But also, this season, it's just like, it's that weird in-between season where we don't want to talk about too much stuff because it's also in the future. But like, I don't want to bag on like Riley a lot, but then I'm also like, if you guys knew how Riley is in the next season, you would know that it's justified for me to be bagging on him that much right now, because it all comes into play next season. Or like when Spike does certain stuff and you're like, this is really cool, but it also shows a pattern that will be, you know, explored next season or in two seasons. Like, this season has a lot of very, very small groundwork that I wish we could have talked about, but that we couldn't. And so I just had to be like, that was an interesting choice for their character, and moving on.
Making a mental note for the next time, being like, all right, well, when it finally gets there, I can be, haha, this is something I wanted to mention since back in season 4.
Well, it sucks too, because it's like half the time I'll be going through the episode and then I'll be like, oh my gosh, this correlates so well. And I see this clear like parallel to like a later season that's like, you know, that I want to talk about. And then I'm like, okay, I just have to remember to talk about when it pops up. And then I almost never do. And I feel like I've kind of gotten used to the format of just like the every day or every week episode and then not trying to spoil it. But I don't know. I think it just like clicked right now. I was like, oh my gosh, we don't have to worry about that. We can talk about whatever
you want.
But then I feel like we always end up just like rambling about some like random storyline, which is always fun too, because I feel like there is so much richness, and then also a huge part of the show that is like I could pick one side subtopic in the show and then talk about it like for 4 hours, just because I feel like this is a good and a bad thing about, I feel like, the Buffyverse fandom. And I feel like for a lot of fandoms too, but I feel like a lot of people get out different things in the show. And I feel like there are just a variety of different feelings about a lot, like most, even like the smallest thing that I feel like everyone's gonna be on the same page about, there's gonna be people who have a strong opinion opposing that, which makes it interesting. And I feel like I love like ambiguity in shows. I love stuff that you can read into. But then also on the other side, I'll be watching a show and I'm like, it's so clear to me that it's one way. Like so, so clear. And then it gets so frustrating when I hear people. I'm like, did we even watch the same show? But I just feel like it's fun that way, but also very frustrating. But then it's also such a good show to do a podcast on, because we could sit here and then talk about all the different views on different episodes and characters and arcs and storylines and everything. So there's just constantly something to talk about in this show. Yeah.
It's frustrating when you feel like your view is the right one or the one that's justified by the show. It's canon. But then it also makes it interesting mm-hmm. that people have such a variety of opinions.
And they're equally as like strong-hearted about it. So I'm always just like very shocked.
Yeah, that we just like see it so differently. Yeah, and I think one of my favorite things about the spoilers that I don't know if we've necessarily talked about a lot is the fact that obviously we have yet to cover the events after this episode. We haven't delved into the end of season 4, season 5, season 6, season 7, all that stuff. And there's obviously a lot of controversial and big character moments like coming up. And our thoughts and opinions may change from what we say here. Maybe on most likely on a small scale. But I feel like, and Tabby, I know you and I have talked about this, but like I feel like my opinions on certain things in the show have changed just even watching it this mm-hmm. like this last watch like for the podcast. I feel like I've changed my mind on like smaller moments, maybe not necessarily big things, but I'm like, oh, and even just like being able mm-hmm. to see where they're going in the future and understanding character choices that are made. And so I'm really excited now that we're starting to kind of get into some of the stuff that we talked about in seasons 1, 2, and 3, spoilers. To see if our minds will change about certain storylines and character choices. And so that's going to be really fun with these spoilers. And that's something I kind of want to make as a caveat now is we are saying a lot of this stuff through the lens as casual viewers. And for some of us, we haven't seen the show like the later seasons in a couple years. Like normally I rewatch the show about every year, but it's been a while because we're doing the podcast. And I'm sure it's been just as long, if not longer, for you guys. And so our memory might be a little bit spotty on some stuff. And so I'm excited when we actually get to it to compare with episodes like this one and see if we have changed our opinions at all. So just keep that in mind as you're listening. All right, guys. So the first thing that I want to talk about is I guess it's still kind of a spoiler, but you guys are going to be coming on to Investigating Angel for 5x5, but you won't be coming on for Sanctuary. And I figured this would be probably a really great opportunity to ask for your guys' thoughts on the Buffy, Angel, and Faith dynamic in Sanctuary, specifically like Angel and Buffy having that fight where they hit each other. Like, I want to know your guys' thoughts since we aren't going to actually get to hear you over there for that specific episode.
I feel like that episode is so convoluted. There's a reason why I chose to do the first episode with Buffy over that yes. one, just because that episode's really hard for me to watch. It's really mm-hmm. hard to see Buffy so vulnerable and so angry with Angel, which justified. And then it's like Angel protecting Faith over protecting Buffy. Like, it's really hard to watch. I don't fault Angel at all. I mm-hmm. think that Angel did what was best for Faith, and I think he made a good decision. And the hard part is watching that. I don't necessarily think that anyone is in the wrong, except mm-hmm. for when he hits her. I don't think he should have hit her. But I think that
that could be explained through the supernatural part of the show. You yes, know, it's supposed I'm to be not kind
saying,
of a metaphor.
Yeah, I'm not yeah. saying like he's an abusive. No. Yeah, like it was yeah, like yeah. he was trying to protect, and that was the way to do it. And it's very convoluted. I still don't think he should have hit her. I think that I like that they take a moment of her being like, "Dude, like you hit me, like that's not okay," type of thing. I just think that it's just really hard to watch. That episode is really hard to watch. I'm glad that they have it because it's so important. My biggest beef is when people say like, oh my gosh, like Buffy, you know, blah, blah, blah. She should have given Faith another chance. Blah, blah, like Buffy overreacted. I'm like, that is the only thing that pisses me off is like, mm-hmm. you guys do realize where Buffy is coming from, right? Like she mm-hmm. is the reason why Angel and her aren't together anymore, because Angel almost died and had to drink Buffy's blood and then was kind of the catalyst for him eventually leaving. On top
yeah,
of
that's true.
She just sexually assaulted both Buffy and Buffy's boyfriend, on top of like hurt Buffy in so many ways, almost raped Xander. Like Faith, let's be honest, did not deserve redemption. Mm-hmm. She got it in the end, and I do think that she paid her price. She earned it in the end, but she did not deserve it. Same thing with, I'll argue the fact that, like, Angel didn't deserve redemption. Mm-hmm. He was a vampire. He had no remorse. But then he was given a soul and he earned his redemption. So it's like, Buffy didn't need to be nice to Faith. Like, she did not need to be nice. Buffy being not immediately killing her is honestly a mercy, in my opinion. and I like that episode because you see Faith own it in the end. Like, she chooses to sacrifice her free will, her life, for Angel, mm-hmm. because Angel didn't kill her. And I'm glad that Buffy was there to witness that, to see mm-hmm. that and see Faith make that selfless decision for Angel, because I think that if Buffy wasn't there to witness that, the ending of season 7 would not be there. Like, Faith mm-hmm. would not be there. Because I think that Buffy ultimately needed to see some change in Faith. But that episode, it's rough. It's one of the hardest episodes for me to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do I start this? Leah said it very well when she said, and we talked, I think I mentioned this in 5x5 as well. It's very, very important that we say that Faith didn't deserve redemption, and it's okay to say that. Yes, this is a supernatural show. Yes, people, monsters kill, all that sort of stuff. It just gets a lot more rough when there's like sexual assault, because that feels a lot more real to us, because people go through that and then they survive. Whereas in supernatural shows, people dying is kind of like, it feels so like kind of, it's not a reality to us it's not a reality to us because that's a fantastical world. Whereas when you put in real human experiences that we go through and then survive it and have to live with it, that's something that's very different. If I die here in a car crash, I don't have to live and have to deal with it. But if I get R-worded, if I witness my family member get tortured, all that sort of stuff, it's like I have to live through that. And that's something that's very real, that a lot of people either have gone through or they have know somebody who has gone through something like that. Like, it's just, it's very, very, very prevalent. And it's very human. It's a very human experience to go through, as sad as it is. So we see a Faith character kind of literally go through everything that makes a person awful, both in a fantastical world and a human world. It's very hard to see. And I don't actually applaud the show for going there, because they're like, you know, we heard about Angel's past and he did it for 200 years, you know, and then he had a whole 100 years we didn't see of him just beating himself up and being in a depression, thinking he's worthless, eating the rats, like just like punishing himself for 100 years. Which is just, oh my gosh, people just, I feel like there's so much that's untapped of Angel until you get onto his series and you see a lot of his flashbacks. But even still then, it's like there's this mental switch when you're watching flashbacks. It's different than seeing a character physically go through it, not physically, but in time go through it while we're watching them. We tend to have a lot more of forgiveness and empathy towards characters that say they've gone through it, and we believe them. And we're able to kind of look on and be like, pat on the shoulder, amazing, lovely.
But this, and I 100% agree. Sorry, we're taking up so much time, Sarah. But I think that the reason why that is, why Faith can do such awful things to a character that does not deserve it, mm-hmm. But you can still end the show with like a semi, not even semi, but like a genuine like care and respect for the character. Mm-hmm. Is because they have so many episodes and so much screen time, not on Buffy, but on Angel, dedicated to showing Faith's remorse. Mm-hmm. She takes ownership. She mm-hmm. breaks down. She has genuine remorse. And you see her take practical steps mm-hmm. to change. And I think that's why you can end the show.
To Buffy.
She's not quick to say sorry. It took her a long time.
No, I'm saying, but when she had that breakthrough moment when Buffy showed up, she apologizes to her. Like my ego and my pride would still not be there.
Right. But I just think that it's like, that's why you can end this show looking at a character like Faith and being like, I love you as a character because I've watched you make the most terrible decisions, but I've also watched you take ownership and accountability for them. And I think a bad example of a character kind of like having a quote unquote redemption arc, but it's not done well is people are going to hate me for this, is Damon in Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yes.
Because
I agree
he doesn't have a redemption arc. Know people are going to get mad at me. I like Damon. I do. But you have to admit he massacres people. But he rarely feels remorse for it. It's always just kind of like, he'll be like, oh, I'm just a bad guy. Like, I'm just a bad guy. I'm trying to be better, whatever. But
he's only soft for Elena.
He's only soft for Elena. He does terrible things. He doesn't have very many episodes of large remorse. And you don't see him try and change unless he is motivated by Elena, which isn't real change. Faith isn't motivated by anything besides just wanting to be good. And that's why you get to the end and you're like, I can love and root for a character like this because she's earned it. Whereas like you get to the end of Vampire Diaries, even with like at least Stefan really mourned it. And I actually prefer Damon as a character to Stefan because there's a lot of other issues with Stefan. But that's why it makes me mad when people say like, Damon had such a good redemption arc. I'm like, no, he didn't. Damon didn't. You don't have to have a great moral compass, but don't act like he had a good redemption arc. He fell in love and wanted to be good for the girl he fell in love with. But honestly, it just kind of ended up making her moral compass less good. Like, just kind of what it was. Less moral. Yeah, like it just, they both compromised. That's what it was. Elena more so than Damon. I don't want to keep talking about this. I'm just saying like Faith's redemption arc is earned. And that's what makes it so beautiful at the end is like they put in the work to make it worth it.
Angel in Sanctuary, we know what Angel has gone through. We've seen lots of flashbacks. We've seen him try so hard to protect her. And what's so beautiful about the show Angel is that, like I think Sarah, you said in Superstar, the heart of Buffy is to save lives. The heart of Angel series is to save souls. Mm-hmm. And I love, 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 love that. And I love the Angel spearheading the show Angel because that's his whole thing, right? We saw him do that in Consequences with Angel. He almost got to her. He almost had that. And then, you know, he gets interrupted. And I think I get Angel in Sanctuary and it sucks. And I get Buffy in Sanctuary and it sucks. This is just good writing and it's a sucky thing for a viewer. And it's very well written because I'm going in. And this is what makes good conflict. Like I don't want to be fully on one person's side all the time. I want to feel conflicted. I want to be angry and like, oh, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I love my girl Buffy. I will always be on her side. And oh my word, is she so justified. It's like we talked about this, I think in 5x5, where people like Willow was so done with Faith and she was justified to be so done with Faith. She didn't want her to be redeemed. She was like, get out of here, which is, that's fair. But then there's people like Angel, and I just applaud and I love that about him, where he's sitting there and he knows exactly where she's at emotionally, and he's so protective over that because he's like, any moment she can crack, any moment she can go back, or this could be the clicking moment for her. And so he's like so protective of this fragile time with her right now. And so having Buffy come in and Buffy being in her like rage and, you know, justice time, where Buffy's female finally rage. Clicked and is like, I'm no longer going to give you grace. That's where Buffy's at, which is, again, I keep saying this, but that's incredibly fair. It's hard to watch. And I think the whole Buffy hitting him, her hitting Angel hitting Buffy right back is supposed to kind of show us physically where they're at emotionally with each other. It's the first time that both of them are like clashing with each other. And I think it's well done. It sucks, but it's very well done. And that's all I have to say on the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that we're going to say here is stuff that you haven't heard yet, but we're going to talk about on, you know, 5x5, and then Leia and I will talk about again in Sanctuary. But it's just the decision to have Faith have her redemption arc on Angel was one that I am just like, chef's kiss, so good. Simply because, again, mm-hmm. Angel is in the business of saving souls. And so I love how this show, like over and over, and you'll hear me say this so much, Faith was Angel's first client on Angel Investigations, except it happened over on Buffy. She was his first client, and that's when Wesley came in and like took over and ruined everything. But it's cool to see how Faith coming back onto Angel really there starts to be more and more parallels between Angel and Faith together. And it is so cool to see their journeys so intertwined. And I'm so excited for season 4 of Angel. I know no one ever says that, but I'm excited for when Faith comes back onto the show of Angel and how we have Angelus back and we get to see Faith meet Angelus. And Faith is kind of wrestling with, have I changed? Am I different since I was in prison and all this stuff? And watching all of that and have it done through the episodes that Angelus is there is so interesting because you get into the minds of both these characters. So I'm really excited to talk about that journey. But I kind of want to talk with you guys about season 7 when Faith comes back onto the show with Buffy. So it's very cool to see how Faith does embrace herself fully in season 7, in that she's not trying to live in Buffy's shadow. She's like, this is who I am. I'm unapologetically myself. And I'm now okay with the fact that I am not Buffy. There's no longer that rivalry between them, at least on Faith's end. In fact, it almost seemed like Faith was going out of her way to not step on Buffy's toes and to take over. And I know, like, I got to bring up Empty Places, but it is interesting how Faith, Leah, it looks like she smelled something nasty. It's interesting how Faith was the only one that stuck up or somewhat stuck up for Buffy in that episode and was the only one that said, hey, whoa, like, I don't want this leadership position. She was not bagging on Buffy. She was not trying to take her spot. And it's interesting how when Buffy does get kicked out and Faith is the only one that follows Buffy out and is trying to see if she's okay. And Buffy does not lash out at Faith. She says, take care of them. And there's that moment between them. Go ahead, Leah. I know you have things to say.
I hate that episode. It is actually my least favorite episode ever, which I know is not unpopular. Thank God.
No, I actually get heart palpitations. I can't do it.
No, the rage I feel in that episode is probably like equal to a white man who punches holes in a wall. it's just so... I hate that episode. And I think the fact that, like, the only person to come to her defense, the only person to kind of, like, extend the olive branch to Buffy is Faith.
Because she gets redeeming. It. Beautiful.
It's redeeming for Faith, and I'm glad that they give that to Faith because it shows that Faith has grown and has a respect for Buffy because she knows the burden that Buffy carries. But the fact that it's Faith is just such a deep wound because it's like Willow, you, oh, Dawn, everything,
Giles.
Willow, Dawn, Giles, Xander, Anya, all these people. I'm like, Buffy has saved you, especially Anya. I'm like, girl, you should be dead. You should be dead. But Buffy did not kill you. You're welcome. Like, Xander, I'm like, Xander, Buffy could have cut you as a friend so many times, but she didn't because she understood that mistakes happen. Willow, I'm like, girl, you almost killed the whole world, and Buffy is still your friend. I actually don't want to talk about it anymore, but it's just infuriating that Faith is the only one to stand up for her. But it's also good in a way because it shows that Faith genuinely understood Buffy in a way that she hadn't before in the show.
Do you guys think that by the time season 7 comes around that Buffy has forgiven Faith?
I think she's guarded. But I think that she can sense a difference.
I think that she's forgiven her, but she doesn't fully trust her. Mm-hmm, I don't think she'll ever fully trust Faith, or at least that we've seen. I think that even the fact that Buffy allows Faith to be in her vicinity shows that she forgives her. But I think the only reason why she was even allowed in her vicinity is because Buffy loves and trusts Angel. And I think that she trusts that if Angel trusts Faith, that she's able to be around her now.
Yeah, I'm curious to go and watch those episodes again, because I think there's always going to be that deep wound there. I don't know fully if Buffy, I do. I think by the end, Buffy has forgiven Faith. I think it's less of a forgiveness and more of like a moving past. In the words of the great Taylor Swift, you know, it's not a, I haven't forgiven them. It's a, I just don't think about it anymore. I've moved past it. And I don't know that that necessarily 100% applies to Buffy, because I do think Buffy has a big heart. Yeah. Yeah. I think by the time we get to season 7, Buffy has so many other things to think about and worry about that it's all just kind of back in the rearview mirror. And like you said, I think she just doesn't trust Faith. But I will say there's some amazingly significant moments with Faith and Buffy in season 7, especially towards the end. And we'll talk about it when we get there. I mean, we all know that by the time we get to the end of the show, there's precious few moments between Buffy and the Scoobies that are actually really good, especially after the events of Empty Places. But I will say the one character that has amazing moments with Buffy, and I feel like we get good closure on, is with Faith. Like we have that moment when Buffy finds the scythe and goes and finds Faith after she was drowned. And we have that moment where they have the scythe and Faith grabs it and says, it feels powerful. She goes, it feels like it's mine. And then she looks at Buffy and goes, well, I guess that means it's yours. That part is significant, showing that Faith no longer, like, she probably wants that responsibility, longs for that role, because she's a slayer. That's ultimately in her blood. But she's accepting of the fact that this is Buffy's, Buffy is the slayer. But that moment when Buffy gets stabbed and chosen, who does Buffy pass the scythe to? It's Faith. And I think that moment was the ultimate like olive branch between the two of them. That moment was the one we were like, okay, Buffy truly has moved past all of this. And the look on Faith's face was, this is huge. I'm about to take on this burden. I'm about to take on this mantle. And I, for the first time, recognize the cost of it. And I think Faith wouldn't have recognized that cost if it wasn't for the events of Empty Places. And I know we hate that, but Faith had to be in charge. And I think it's sucky the way they put her in charge. They could have done it a different way. But Faith had to be in charge, and she had to see what Buffy had to go through. And she says so to Buffy. So the moment that we have the scythe and then Faith going around and Faith attacking, and then Faith gets tackled by all those vampires, and she immediately throws the scythe to Rona. There's no thought in her mind of like, no, I'm going to try and hold on to this. Like, I think there's just little moments like that that you look at and you're like, Faith has come so far from the power hungry girl who just wanted her own place in this world to the point where she was willing to take other people's places, to a girl so self-assured with who she is that she was, confident, and she was willing to step in if needed, but she was also okay with staying back on the sidelines. And so I just think that I don't know, find a better character arc in the Buffyverse apart from Faith. I truly believe Faith's character arc is possibly the best one of at least Buffy, maybe even Angel. Wesley might rival, but I think Faith might be better. So
I feel like hers is just the most complete.
You walk away with a satisfied feeling, and like her story, there probably was more they could have told, but you walk away going, yeah, I saw the entire like beginning, middle, end of it all.
Also just a testament to the writing for her character specifically is the fact that we had such little time in retrospect, and we feel this way, but I also look on it and like, oh, I just want more. Like, are we,
yeah,
like compared to the entirety of both series, I like, we didn't get much of her, and yet we feel this way about her character. And I just want way more of redeemed Faith. If the entire seventh season was redeemed Faith, my goodness, it probably would be so much better. Guys, oh my word, why did I just say that? I'm offending myself. Because like, could you imagine, the whole theme of season 7 is power. So imagine both Faith and Buffy coming back and having this like different type of power struggle, but in a way that's like empowering and then working together. And like, yeah. Imagine how beautiful that would be. Like, mm-hmm. I just hurt my own feelings. Like, that's actually so annoying.
I think that is kind of there. They just shoved it into the last 5 episodes and then did it poorly because they decided to manufacture the drama out of empty spaces.
But we had everyone else in there. Imagine if it was just Buffy and her, and then the potentials came in the last like 4 episodes, you know?
Yeah, they should have swapped it, brought Faith in earlier, and the potential should have come way later. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. So the last thing I wanted to say about that was I think it's incredibly significant. And I've said it before in my episode about the season 3 finale where I talk about shared power and how that's a common theme throughout the entire series. The last shot of the series is on Buffy, but the person that is also in the shot with her is Faith. And I think that, again, is so significant. I really love that they made that choice. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about is Riley and Buffy. So this episode, Who Are You, is significant because Riley tells Buffy that he loves her. But we only ever hear Buffy say that she loves Riley, not to Riley, but when she's talking to Angel in Sanctuary, and then we never hear it again. This might be, I know we're still going to get there, and this might change over the course of the rest of season 4 and season 5, but do you guys ever think that Buffy ever loved Riley?
Wah, wah. I don't think he did. She did, personally. I am an avid anti-Riley hater, or actually, I guess that's contradicting. I'm a Riley hater. I try to give him his crumbs. Oh, yeah, I know. I was like, I would even go so far as to say that I don't really even think that Riley loved Buffy. I think that, I know. And here's my thing. I think he deeply cared for her, but I think that when you have such an innate insecurity, and I think that Riley just, he needed Buffy to need him. And Buffy just didn't. And I think that maybe he did love her, but I don't really think it's like loving someone if you need them to love you in a specific way. Mm. And I just think that, honestly, I think Buffy really cared about Riley, but I just think that she just loved the idea of being with a normal guy like Riley, and she loved the comfortability of Riley. And I also think that that's why on screen we see Buffy. Riley is Buffy's longest and most consistent relationship. Her and Angel are on and off again for the whole freaking show, but like, she's with Riley consistently for like 2 seasons.
A season and a half, but I know what you mean. They're at least, they never break up in that time period.
Exactly. And I think the reason why that is because Buffy's life was so crazy in seasons 4 and 5 that she just, the idea of having a stable boyfriend was just so easy and convenient for her. And I don't think she did it on purpose, but I think that she just needed stability, and Riley was that stability. He was easy, and he was there, and he cared for her. So she desired to care for him, and I ultimately think that's why she lets him go. Like, he leaves, and yeah, she kind of chases after him, but it's like, it takes convincing for her to go after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If that was Angel, there would be no conversation. She would be there. Like, I just think that it's, and we honestly don't even really see her mourn Riley very much when he's gone. It's like more of like hints of like, oh yeah, Buffy's going through a breakup. Like, it's not like she's shattered. You know what I mean? But no, I don't think she loved him.
I think that love is a very complex thing. I don't think that they were true love pairs. No, I'm going to get into it. That came out way more aggressive than I thought it was going to.
It's okay.
My tone of voice comes out, and I never mean it to be like that. It just sounds way more aggressive.
I didn't think it was aggressive. It's okay. Sorry. You're fine.
Well, I think it's funny, too, because all of us are aware that it's not aggressive. Well, me and Sarah are aware it's not aggressive, so we don't address it. We're like, oh, okay. But then sometimes I listen back, and I'm like, I literally sounded so mean. Like, Sarah will say something, and I'm like, okay, Sarah. Like, but I'm genuinely being like, okay, Sarah, like, you know, like, I'm chilling. Yep, yep. But, and they know that, but then I forget that there's, like, you know, other people that listen, and I'm like, they have no idea what I mean.
I think it's hard with siblings because, like, they know, y'all know I'm not meaning to sound like that. It's just you feel so comfortable around siblings. Like, I don't know. If this was, like, people other than, like, my sisters, it'd be very tone of voice would be way different just because I'm like, oh, like, it's other people.
Well, but, okay, y'all, we keep also getting DMs from people saying that they have just found out. They've been listening for 3 seasons and just found out we're sisters. So I'm thinking at some point, we need to re-record our intro and we're going to say that we're 3 sisters or something like that. And I'm going to have each of us have a part in the intro so people can hear our voices along with our names a little bit more because people are still confused about who is who. And then when they find out we're related, they're like, that's why I can't tell the difference between you three.
I can't believe that they think that I would be that rude to people that I'm not related to. Like, what?
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh. Is Buffy in love with Riley? Okay, again, love is a very complex thing. So I think you can love somebody for where you're at emotionally and mentally at the time. And I also think that there's a difference between like a big love of your life and like the love of your life and or a real love, and then somebody that you deeply loved but it wasn't like the relationship that clicks for you. It isn't the relationship that feels like home. It isn't the relationship that's like best friends. It isn't the relationship that gets you the most excited. It's one that works and could work, but it's not something that's going to sustain for a long amount of time. So there's different types of love. I just don't think it was like love. You know what I mean? She had love for him. I just don't think it was that. I just don't think it was that big of a deal. You know?
Yeah.
It was it. It wasn't it. You know?
Right. I mean, so she never says – not only does she never say I love you to Riley, but she goes out of her way to not say it. I think she cared deeply for Riley. It's definitely not in the same level of affection that she had for Angel, who she says she loves multiple times, and that she never loved anyone like she loved Angel. It feels like an unfair comparison, but I mean, I think
season
about
7.
Yeah, right. Well, I think about, like, you know,
4 years after
Riley and Buffy in a car together, and Riley says, I love you, and Buffy smiles and like turns her head and looks out the other window. You know what I mean? Like, there's moments like that where I'm like, ooh, like, she's pointedly not saying it.
Also, to the point where Riley's like, a little weenie for literally dating a girl who couldn't even say that she loved him back for years. Like, I understand giving someone a bit of time if you say I love you and, like, you know, maybe they're not ready, and like, Buffy is definitely the type of person where she had been through so much, so I understand giving her time. Like, years, Riley? You really looked at this girl for years and was like, yeah, I'm sure she loves me, when she couldn't even say it back?
I think they only dated canonically for a year. But I will say, like, I think that if you're in a relationship for like months on end and you say I love you and they're like pointedly not saying it back, like, and then you're continuing to perpetuate yourself as the victim but then not like leave or have a communication with your girlfriend and then also make her feel bad that you're not a first priority when her mom's literally dying, you need to leave.
Yeah. And then the fact that he tells Xander she doesn't love me, like, he knows she doesn't love him and he continues. My problem with Riley, and like, maybe we'll go back and talk about Doomed, because spoilers with that one, I was like dying inside because there's so much to say. But like, the fact that Riley is basically bullying her into a relationship that she's not sure that she wants, and then gets frustrated at the end when she's not fully committed to the relationship like he is, I'm like, Riley, what did you expect? It's almost like Riley mm-hmm. fell in love with the type of person that he – like he made Buffy into this person that she never really was. He wanted her mm-hmm. to be like more open with him, more vulnerable, more dependent on him, which those things aren't necessarily bad. That's how she was with Angel.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't think that Riley genuinely loved Buffy, because – what he desired yeah. out of her and what he wanted from her was never really Buffy. Like, he just wanted exactly. her to be, like, the sweet, the missive, you know, like, girlfriend who could just kind of play the, like, girlfriend, like his role is, how do I say this? Let me start over. It's more of, like, he desired a very traditional masculine and feminine roles. He desired to be the quote-unquote man, the one who kills the bad guys and like all this stuff, and he wanted her to be the supportive role to him in his life. And that's just not what it is. Like,
I don't think that's exactly – I think he definitely had an idea in mind. I don't think it's – he wanted a traditional, all that other stuff. I think he liked Buffy's power. He liked how strong and how powerful she was. I think that Riley was never comfortable with who he was. And he was always comparing himself. And we'll talk about this when we get to the Yoko factor. I firmly believe the Yoko factor is where Buffy and Riley, their relationship severs to a point that will never go back again, because Riley compared himself to Angel and then afterwards continually brings up how he's not as good as Angel, or brings up Angel. And even though Buffy never brings him up and never compares the two of them, Riley does. And so I think it's more of an insecurity on Riley's part that he does not measure up to who he thinks Buffy should want, even though Buffy shows that she's like fine with who Riley is. But I also think Riley wanted more out of Buffy, and I don't think it's wrong to say that Buffy closed herself off after Angel. Buffy never threw herself into a relationship with anybody like she did with Angel, and I think Riley sensed that and wanted more from Buffy that she couldn't give. But again, Buffy was 100% upfront with that from Doomed, from the moment their relationship started, when she said, I can't do this again because of what happened. Riley refused to even listen to what she was saying, gaslights her, and then bullies her into the relationship. What did you expect, Riley?
I agree. I think that I'm not going to say that the issues in their relationship was 100% Riley. I think that Buffy definitely closed herself off. But I also think that was like Buffy. I don't ever think that Buffy should have dated Riley. I think that it wasn't the best decision for her. I think she wasn't ready to date anyone. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately think that Riley didn't want to hear that. And he chose not to hear that and ultimately yes. got bit in the butt because of it. Because then he was a year down the line and was like, why is she not giving me what I want? Why is she not blah, blah, blah? So I'm going to go
right.
seek it from other things. And I yeah. just think that.
And that's where what you yeah. were saying, Leah, about how he had this love and affection for the person that he wanted Buffy to be, but not who she actually was. And so, yeah, then at that yes. point, it's like, does he actually love Buffy, or does he just love the idea of Buffy that he has in his head? Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. There's a couple small things, like Tara's ability to sense Buffy's aura is interesting, because she's the one that Buffy asks to check and see if she came back different or wrong in season 6. We see a very kind and empathetic and sensitive side to Tara that continues on for the rest of the series, to the point where like Buffy trusts her enough to open up about all the stuff with Spike. Speaking of Spike, all right, let's talk about that Faith and Spike interaction that happened in this episode, because that's kind of like the big thing that most everybody seems to remember. Leah, you mentioned a long while back when we were still doing the spoiler section that you were wanting to pinpoint the moment where Spike's infatuation with Buffy turned sexual. I think this might be that moment, based off their interaction in the next episode, Superstar.
It's because he thinks that she is making it sexual.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't think that Spike ever really thought of it that way. I think he always just thought of it as like, I mean, when he first comes, he definitely has some sexual innuendos with Buffy, but I think that's more because he viewed her as prey, and he kind of always had that like sexual thing with his prey. That sentence out of the context of this podcast would sound so weird. I think that this was the first time where he really felt like Buffy at all reciprocated that. And I don't think he ever even allowed himself to to think about Buffy in that way, because it just was never a thought on the table. Like, it was always just like, Buffy's the Slayer, I'm a vampire, blah, blah, blah. Like, that is our roles. And so I think that once Faith kind of unlocked that idea in his mind, it was like, oh, shoot, like, that would be crazy. Like, that type of thing.
Yeah, I do want to say, though, I do think that Spike has always had somewhat of a sexual interest in Buffy, because I think he confuses sex and violence. Like look how he talks about Drusilla, you know, like he's going to go torture her to get her to love him back, you know. But I think you're right, Leah.
I think that
Spike never thought that Buffy would reciprocate. Let me say that again. I don't think Spike ever thought that Buffy would reciprocate. And I think that that was a whole new level of sexy for him, because she was also kind of threatening him too. So, I mean, like, I think there was like that idea of he just got 10,000 times more turned on, that like sexual frustration. But Faith and Spike's very flirtatious meeting in Dirty Girls in season 7 is where we learn that Buffy told Spike that it was actually Faith off screen, and Spike mentions that to Faith. And I wish we could have heard that conversation on the show, because I think that would have just been really interesting. But also, Buffy walks in on that conversation and instantly bristles and is probably remembering enemies with Faith and Angel, and then this episode with Riley, and instantly assumes that Faith is trying to come on to Spike. And so I just like that little bit of continuity there. And everyone's all like, oh my gosh, Buffy's always so jealous and everything. And I'm like, guys, are we watching the same show? It's not jealousy. It's insecurity because of Faith and the past pattern.
It's PTSD, bro. It's not jealousy. It's PTSD.
Right.
Like, sorry, but if someone literally pretended to be in my body and slept with my boyfriend, yeah, I'd be nervous every time they're around someone I was having sex with. Sorry.
So in the spoiler-free episode, I had talked about how Willow introduces Tara to the friend group through the bronze, and at the bronze, kind of showing how she uses the bronze as a barometer for her coolness. And we had also talked about how Nerf Herder, the band that plays the intro for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they play live at the bronze only twice in the series, and this episode is the first time. The second and last time they play is in Empty Places, and it's the episode where Faith takes all the potentials to the bronze and Buffy gets really upset and angry, and then there's that mutiny and we all know what happens there. But one of the interesting things is that is the last time that we ever see the bronze on the show, and it's also the last band that we ever see playing in the bronze. And there's like that funny moment where one of the band members says that like it's always weird playing in one of these smaller towns because like there's always vampires or something. Like they make like a fourth wall break showing that the band is aware of vampires. But it's just interesting that Nerf Herder, you know, Buffy's band, is the last band to play on the show. And then also I kind of hinted at this in the spoiler-free episode, but we talked about how there is an episode that Willow also goes to try to prove her coolness. And it's the one where, I don't remember the name of it, but it's the one where she goes with Amy and they are playing around with magic.
And also like when Oz was the band singer at the bronze, she was like, yes, I'm dating him, like he's exactly in the band. It's always been about exactly like the cred there.
Or even if you go back to the first episode, like that's the moment that she seizes the day, that she like takes everything, yes, like into her own hands.
Exactly.
With that dude or that vampire.
Yeah. And I think there's this idea for Willow, and I mean, I understand it, when you were made fun of so much in high mm-hmm. school for being the opposite of cool, and you're at the bronze, which is supposed to be the coolest place ever, and you see all these people doing awesome things and looking like they're having so much fun being at the top of the food chain, there's this sense of you wanting to go back there and like reclaim that and make yourself cool, or show that you have moved past that and that you are cool and that you're not that weird geeky nerdy girl that had nobody to sit with her at the bronze before. Like, she actually has someone now, you know? So it's just really interesting to see that play out here. All right, and then there's the similarities to Dead Things when Buffy beats Spike, saying there's nothing good or clean, when it's obvious she's referring to herself. That's very similar to Faith beating herself in Buffy's body. And so the last thing I want to talk about is, so I've been reading Richardson and Rabb's papers throughout the past couple of episodes talking about Faith's evolution and arc and stuff. And so I kind of wanted to read the very end since we aren't going to get there for a couple more seasons. And it's just, it's beautiful. It says, eventually Faith, with Angel's help, freely chooses to turn herself into the police and serve time in prison for the crime she has committed. That this represents her move towards autonomy is confirmed by the fact that no prison can contain a slayer against her will. So saying like Faith chose this knowing she can break out at any time, which shows her character. When her services as Slayer are once again required by Angel and Wesley, she has no difficulty breaking out of prison, which again confirms her contention that she was freely choosing to accept her punishment. And that's Angel episode Salvage.
I didn't even think about the fact that, like, I always thought about the fact that she could break out at any moment because I was like, duh. But I didn't think about the fact that she could have turned herself in and then been like, I'm going to do this for Angel, and then broken out and, like, gone about her way, which still would have been heroic because she still took the blame, but she chose to do the time. Like, it wasn't just like she chose to have that on her record and, you know, like live a life of a criminal. Like, she chose to sit in prison when she could escape. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. And I also love in Angel, I think it's the first episode of Angel season two, when Angel, he's learned about Shanshu and he's all excited. And then like, it's been a couple of months since he learned about the Shanshu and life is just like the same old, same old. And he's feeling a little discouraged about how hard it is to actually like earn redemption. And who does he go to talk to? The episode ends with him going to prison and talking to Faith and them both being like, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? Like, this is really hard. Redemption's hard. And just love it. Love it so much. So then the quote goes on and says, ironically, once out of prison, Faith finds herself working with Wesley. Even more ironically, she has occasion to criticize him for torturing of a drug addict. Even more ironically, she has occasion to criticize him for torturing a drug-addled prostitute for information. Wesley retorts defensively, oh, you have a problem with torture now? I seem to recall a time when you rather enjoyed it. Faith responds significantly, yeah, well, it's not me anymore. You know that. And that's in episode four, or season four, episode 14 release. Wesley replies to this claim by hurling a series of outside view predicates at Faith. This is the part where you tell me you've turned a new leaf. Found God, inner peace. We both know that isn't true. You haven't changed. You can't because you're sick. You've always been sick. It goes right down to the roots, rotting your soul. That's why your friends turned on you in Sunnydale, why the Watchers Council tried to kill you. No one trusts you, Faith. You're a rabid dog who should have been put down years ago. Whew, that's going to be fun to talk about when we get to maybe a little bit of Wesley projecting there. But I think it's interesting because, like, we talk about Sartre's look this entire time and how, like, Faith has really been rattled by how other people view her. And that's what ultimately caused her to turn around and start seeking a redemption or something else. But Faith's response to this condemnation and this look from someone else is, Faith obviously has changed since she is not devastated by these outside view predicates. She also refuses to accept Angelus's similar claim that she is unable to change. Angelus says, nothing will ever change who you are, Faith. You're a murderer, an animal, and you enjoy it just like me. Faith proves that she will no longer be categorized and stultified. That's such a weird word. Faith proves that she will no longer be categorized and stultified by the look of the other. In responding, no, you're wrong. I'm different now. I'm not like you. It is now evident we contend that Faith, by once again choosing to be the slayer, the chosen one, has achieved the strength of character and level of autonomy necessary for redemption and is approaching the authenticity and moral integrity which, as we will show, Buffy has possessed all along. And I love that. And I can't wait to get to those parts to start talking about like Faith's growth. Because for so long, we've been talking about how Faith has just been going down this very destructive path. And it's been fascinating, but I'm ready to start talking about how she's going to build herself back up again. And yeah, she's just a great character. She's so fun. And I could talk about her for hours.
I was just going to say, I think it's crazy to think that there's people who fully have watched all of Buffy and then just randomly see Faith come on and they're like, wait, they're good now? Like, not knowing everything that happens on Angel, not just these like two episodes with like the one that we just watched and the one that you guys are about to do on Angel, but like the ones when Angelus is there and then Faith comes back mm-hmm. and helps them out. And like, they're just so pivotal. They're so pivotal. And it's crazy that some people just never get that.
It is quite jarring when you watch season 7, because I watched season 7 of Buffy before I watched Angel, and I was like, whoa, Faith's come back. What Same. Has happened since? Like, what's going on? Like, I had no I clue just kind at of, all. Like,
I assumed everything was good. I was like, all right, sure.
Which is so funny, because like, how? Faith did some awful things. I think we just kind of forgot because it had been like 3 seasons. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we have today for spoiler section Scooby Secrets. Who are you? Come back next time to hear us talk about spoilers for Superstar, which I'm really excited because, well, I guess it's not super unsurprising. There's just a lot to talk about with that episode. A lot of like small character moments and foundational stuff that's being laid in that episode, even if the overall plot is not, you know, super great. But
and Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan, for sure. So as always, guys, thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being a part of our tier, our Scooby Secrets. We hope you enjoyed this. And as always, guys, you know where to find us. Instagram, TikTok, Tumblr, Becoming Buffy Podcast. Email us your guys' thoughts. If you ever want us to discuss something special on Scooby Secrets, definitely let us know. You can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us here and buy me a coffee. Thanks so much for your guys' support, and we will talk to you next time.